We haven't actually, I say go back, we haven't actually been to them yet. No. You're so naughty, you two. I know.
Well, I've come onto Clayton's mic now because apparently mine was feeding back Tessa. I'm furious.
I know, it's technical glitches.
Oh, they've missed all the best bits now.
I know.
We're sharing the same mic.
Well, it's nice. We need to be intimate and cosy, don't we?
Really cosy in.
We've got our mouth around the same funny gob.
Oh, fuck off.
What can I do, eh? I can't help it. Two gay men in a room together.
Excuse me, past their prime.
I'm
very, very dare you.
But do you know the truth is, what they're sharing a mic now, so they're having to nuzzle up, and it's only because of the technical deficiencies of the studio.
But we're all friends, so it's all right. There's
okay,
nothing in it.
Have you got ears? Keep your hands above the desk.
Yes, there's no,
thank you.
There's no lesbianism going on here.
I would like you to start with a broadsheet, raise the tone a little.
Oh, right.
Can you read?
Have you got one?
Yes, okay. I've got the Sun.
Oh, for crying out loud.
That's not a broadsheet.
No, but I didn't go for the broadsheet, so I just went through
the chat. I did.
Okay.
I've got Financial Times.
You start off with a broadsheet.
No, you smut first.
Yeah. Okay. There seems to be a couple of stories I've read about David Beckham. You know he's doing that, is it Calvin Klein underwear campaign or something?
Oh, don't pretend you don't know, Mr.
Okay.
I own a shop called Dirty White
Boy.
Okay.
But the feeling is that he's no longer a sex object.
Why not?
Lorraine Kelly says here, and she should know, so she says here, I'm afraid David Beckham is just too waxed, perfumed and powdered to have any appeal to red-blooded women.
Yeah, but that's, hang on, Lorraine Kelly.
But she says men want their men a little bit hairy and a little bit grubby. And I can hold with that, yeah.
Well, I think, you see, he's become unattainable. He's too rich now, and nobody can reach him. And I think in order to be a successful sex object, there has to be the feeling that you might be able to get them somehow. You know?
He's had too many children. I think the trick is...
He's lost his shape, hasn't he?
I just think,
he's
you know...
Act.
He's procreated, and I think it seems a bit dirty to try and aspire to him.
It's breaking kind of, up a family, wouldn't you?
It's not
That's
good.
That's a turn off.
That is a turn off.
Yeah.
It's why I've not bred yet.
Don't start now, dear.
Saving me eggs, you know. What's your excuse?
Graphic.
What's your excuse, Mr. Blogger?
I can't answer that.
No, I didn't think you'd be able to.
I'll be taken off the air.
Next. That was a rubbish.
It was
unnewsworthy.
Sorry,
I want immigration, crime, gangs, Home Office. Come on, proper stuff.
Okay, nothing on the Spice Girls. Over to you.
Well, the yellow pages of the Financial Times.
David Benson.
I don't believe this story. Fine foods are flavours of the month. Now, I thought this was supposed to be a recession.
Yeah.
Nobody's buying anything. But they're saying it. Jenny Wiggins has written an article here, and she says, despite higher food prices and fears of an economic downturn, people have no qualms about splashing money on the very best kinds of food and wine this year, with truffles and vintage champagne being favourites. Truffles, which cost £5,000 per kilo, or £250 each, are flying out the door.
You put on a flippant voice. I think it's obscene. We put a pound a mouthful food, or pound a morsel food into our mouth to squit it out the other end.
Yes.
And I just think we've lost the blooming plot.
Yes.
What's wrong with the spaghetti hoops of the olden day? Well, that's what you had in Western Supermare, wasn't
noodles,
it?
Noodles, yes.
But
well, according to this story, it's not just these big stores like Harrods. It says at the other end of the market, supermarket chain Asda says sales of its own brand premium range food are higher than ever, including extra special rich fruit mince pies. Well, that puts the caviar and grass out the window, doesn't it, really? Let's face it.
I don't know anyone, all my friends are tightwads, who goes for the finest range in the supermarkets. Do you?
Treat once in a while.
Do you really?
Once in a while.
Because you're an award winner.
One thing,
isn't it?
One nice thing, and everything else cheap.
More money than sense. You can find him at his own Christmas party on his own, by the way. We'll tell you where later. More money than sense. What did you last buy that was the finest range, David?
Is this Tesco's finest?
Can't name brands,
sorry,
you know,
just the finest, finest.
Well, I wouldn't buy truffles, so I'll tell you that. Have you ever been to Borough Market?
It's very expensive.
Lovely market. With those, it's like a middle-class paradise. Mm. They don't let working-class people in.
But
Sunday morning.
I once bought a pepper, and it cost me a pound,
exactly.
An orange pepper, and I felt stung.
But was it the best pepper you could possibly imagine, weren't it?
No, because eating it was a kind of...
But it would have been a perfect pepper to upset your stomach on.
If I hadn't known how much it would have cost, it would have been okay. But
maybe
I choked knowing that this was the most obscenely overpriced pepper.
But it's like a museum, really, that you can walk around and you can actually buy the things that are on exhibit. They're very fine products, and you can go and they have truffles, you know, and you can have a little taste of a truffle. It's one of the most disgusting things I've ever tasted.
Did they make you pay for the taste?
No, you can have these little dishes of things you can have.
What
you
did
can
it
go
taste
around
of?
The market and eat. You can be full by the time you leave. They were tasted like mould and kind of rancid, horrible taste.
Isn't it always the way that the most expensive delicacies, they're always kind of quite foul, aren't they?
But you know what, you don't have a posh palate.
No, I don't. Well, funny enough, really. I used to hate olives. Now I quite like them.
Born in Western Supermare. Yeah. Taken a whole lifetime to wean you onto olives.
It was all winkles and cockles then when I was young.
Where were you born, David?
Well, Oxford. I stayed there for about 6 months. And then we moved to Birmingham, which was where I was dragged up. And I don't mean dragged up as in like I do now playing a day. I mean, I was brought up in a suburb of Birmingham called Castle Bramwich. And that's how I probably spoke at one point. It's hard to imagine.
And so not many truffles.
No, well, we had to root for them ourselves.
I want anybody listening who's ever eaten a truffle, O2, except for David Benson, the award-winning comedian queen.
How dare you?
Because you called yourself Queen Alia.
Listen, I was talking about food. I like man's food, you know. So this is what defines me as a real man.
Oh, now he's getting all manly on me.
I like a big plate of mince and potatoes.
He's doing a butch thing. Oh, God.
Loves his meat and two veg.
Yes. I love the meat and two veg. Yes.
We are going to Milton Keynes.
Are we on gold?
We are. Line one
I
is Shabba.
Got my passport. Okay.
Hello, Shabba.
Hello, Shabba.
Hello, Tessa. Are you okay?
No. Does it sound like I'm okay, Shabba?
Are you on the motorway?
He's laughing nervously.
Are you driving, Shabba?
He's driving.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm going to Leeds.
Driving and on the phone.
That's amazing.
I've got hands free.
I hope your hands are free.
Watch out for the traffic.
Look, it's on the radio. If you ring up, hands free, you sound like a man on the move, a man with somewhere to go. It adds to your cachet and your sex appeal. The sound quality is appalling.
Are you a taxi driver?
No, I'm actually a consultant as well. So
Allow these two pretenders. Earlier we had this consultant on, and the reason why people call themselves consultants is simply so they can charge an extra £200.
Exactly. Cool. I'd like to call myself a consultant.
Yeah, yes. But who would you consult, David?
The audience.
Exactly, you would earn nothing.
Thing.
Shabba, who do you consult?
I'm a financial advisor.
Ooh.
So
right.
I'm a consultant, that's what I do.
What kind of car are you driving?
A BMW.
He's a wide boy. Yeah. He's not a consultant. You're a wide boy, aren't you, Shabba?
Top of the game, aren't you?
What neighbourhood are you driving through?
I've just passed through Milton Keynes. I'm trying to get, towards home.
Where's home?
Leeds.
Oh, blimey. Leeds? Oh, you'll be skimming up the motorway in your BMW.
Well,
the
point is, says Tessa bitterly, you can afford a BMW because you haven't mortgaged your life for a rabbit hutch in this godforsakenly expensive capital.
You can
capital.
Buy a mansion in Leeds for what you can buy for a rabbit hutch.
How much did your house cost, Shabba?
I'm going to be honest, £150,000 for the 5-bedroom.
£150,000?
No, £250,000.
£250,000?
How many bedrooms?
Five.
Five bedrooms in Leeds for £250,000.
Cheap.
That's amazing. You couldn't get a studio in that for that over here in London, could you?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I work in London, so I do the financial advice thing for all clients, so it's just mad the prices down there.
Oh, he lives in another world, doesn't he, Clayton?
Yeah, he lives on the motorway mainly, clearly, in that BMW.
Are you happy, Shabba?
Yeah, comfortable.
Okay. Oh, that's sickening.
Shabba just rang to tell us that he's a big Captain Haddock fan. That's lovely, isn't
that's
it?
That's a strange name, isn't it? Shabba, where's Shabba?
Well, it's
from?
Shabab in full.
Shabab.
It's not a very shortened version of Shabab, is it, Shabba?
No, I think your person on the telephone got it wrong, but I didn't want to say anything.
He's got everything wrong. It's the porn name thing. Shabab. He got so excited about porn names. He couldn't work out the microphones tonight. He can't get the callers' names. He's bewitched and bamboozled because he's discovered my name is Minx. Heterosexual men, I don't recommend you work with them, Shabba. Listen,
Shabab.
Take care. A big kiss.
Bye, Shabba.
Thank you.
By the way, those two have been flirting with you. Did you pick it up?
I'm flirting with his car.
You're flirting with the vivid print of imagination. Goodbye, Shabba. We loved him. By the way, call if you like. 020-722-42000. Next, it's Miles and Hampstead, who apparently wants to talk about drag queens.
Oh, we know about this one, don't we? Well, you were dressed up as one last night.
That's a pantomime dame. It's different. Where is he, Miles?
He's in Hampstead. I don't know. He's not there yet. He's not on the line yet. Stephen's getting him up.
It'd be
hours talking to him and working out what his real name is.
And what he's going to ask us.
We're talking about famous dogs. This is a horrid... And I don't like cruelty. I think you may have a cruel streak, Dave.
It can come out in certain circumstances.
And the eponymously named cab driver, Dave, has texted in, "You want famous dogs? How about the cheeky girls?"
That's a bit nasty.
It's a very cabby type thing to say, though, isn't it? I can imagine him saying it.
It's a bit obvious. rebellious, that one, to say something like that.
David, have you just been profoundly rude about the cab industry?
No, I can just imagine him saying, no, I think it's charming, that sense of humour. I love it.
Are you aware that the cab driver is my bread and my butter?
What a strange thought.
Late at night, without Mr. Cab.
Won't linger on that.
Don't, you can, I'm just telling you. So
I love
blog,
cab drivers.
He backtracks furiously. He'll be walking home. 020-722-42000 is the telephone number if you want to talk to these two pretenders. My porn name would be Ginger Melville. Pickles, as suggested by Mad Julian's, was the... Who was Pickles, the famous dog? Do either of you two know?
Pickles.
No.
No, I'm going to tell you. Learn something on this show. You can put it in your blog.
The Famous Five.
No, that was Tim. Timothy the dog. Okay. Well done. Who was the Secret Sevens dog? Can't remember that one. Pickles. No, Tintin was a boy. Well done. As suggested by Mad Julian, was the dog that found the World Cup after it went missing in 1966, just before the tournament opened.
I was going to say that. About it.
I don't sense you're a football man, are you, Dave?
I like the thighs, but that's
you do,
it.
Yeah, I do too, but not Beckham's. They're old.
I think the bars afterwards are interesting. I used to enjoy that at school, the showers.
Yeah, the rugby.
Oh, yes.
Rugby, yeah.
But Western you had to get muddy in order to have the shower afterwards.
Of course, yeah. The scrum down and all
You've
that.
You've no idea what you missed at school, Tessa.
But can I ask, last time when my Soho blogger came on, he told us all about his sort of coming out or not, only at your halfway house.
Oh, have I got to come out all over again?
No, I was going to get Dave to.
Oh, right.
Well, actually, this
never
is
been
it.
In.
Was it
way,
in the shower room?
I think I might be gay, Tessa.
Really?
Can you help him?
No, I spent all my time in the showers at school trying not to come out.
In Birmingham?
In Birmingham, or in any way, shape or form.
Did you manage?
Because you don't have much control over your body when you're that age. And being in a shower with all your school friends naked is a very erotic experience if you're of that turn of mind. And also with a gorgeous gym teacher towering over you who looks like Kevin Keegan. He was a dead ringer for Kevin Keegan, and every schoolboy of course wanted to play with Kevin Keegan.
With a perm.
Did anyway. And I still wouldn't mind, actually.
The perm went all the way down.
And it was
a
highly charged situation, and one had to fight. That's really when I learned to do my timetables successfully, was in the showers trying not to show my true colours.
Because you were putting your mind elsewhere.
Exactly.
Right, it's known as compartmentalising.
Actually, it was a very embarrassing experience, wasn't it?
You showers weren't there, at
school.
You
know. No, it's universal, I think,
yes,
isn't it?
Is.
You get your first pubic hair. And you think, oh no, I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want to be the first person to have one.
Oh, you're trying to pretend that you were the first boy to have...
No,
yeah,
no,
it seemed like it. Oh, yes.
An early developer.
Yes.
You weren't drawn wanted attention.
The amount I had to pluck out before...
I did that as well.
Can we go back to the newspapers?
I'm Victorian. Fascinating. I had no idea we had this strange link.
Yes, we're
later. We must talk about it later.
Well, if I could share with you, not that you'd be interested.
Go on.
I was the last girl in my class to wear a bra.
And now look at you.
I'm a late bloomer. Now, if you'd kindly return to the papers, and I want something cerebral. Do you know what that word means?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got something good here.
I'm not convinced, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen Book, these two. Yeah.
Can I read out an apology?
You may. Is it for your own performance?
No, but I take your point, dear. I feel suitably chastened and wounded. What a cow. Anyway, listen. It's an apology to David Walliams. This is printed in today's Independent.
Really?
It says... In Pandora, on 16th of November, it was implied that David Walliams was rude and dismissive to a party-goer at a charity event for the Elton John AIDS Foundation. We wish to clarify that the party-goer concerned was one of our diary reporters. Mr. Walliams told the reporter that he was at the event as a guest and was not giving interviews that evening. Furthermore, it was not our intention to imply that Mr. Walliams' behaviour was rude and conceited... And we accept that Mr. Walliams, who paid to attend the event, spoke to and posed for photographs with paparazzi and members of the public when requested. I hope that's clear.
David Walliams is a prima donna. He clearly went to the paper, all wounded and vain, minced his way up there and said, give me an apology, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I knew him years ago, long before he was famous or talented.
Was he attractive? Is he attractive?
Yes, he
gets a lot of pretty women.
He has a big aura, and he's the biggest flirt in the world. He'll flirt with anyone. He'll flirt with a lamppost, isn't
he? Did he flirt with you?
Yes, everybody. It's part of his charm.
We went to see Dame Edna, didn't we? We were sat at the front, and he was on as a guest. And he nodded at you, didn't he? I saw him nod.
He
went, David!
He didn't go, David!
Well, he did. He did it with his eyebrow.
He gave me a little sort of sly, matey wink.
But you see, we were in... Was this before he was famous?
No, this was this year.
Well, you were in Little Britain, weren't you?
For about 30 seconds.
What did you do?
There was one episode.
Vomit.
No, I did not. I was in the House of Commons, and yes. There was a scene where that character who's in love with the Prime Minister comes in singing a song, and I had to be an MP with a lighter who gets carried away and waves it like a Barry Manilow concert. It was a glorified extra. And they apologised to me afterwards, Matt and David, and they said, we're sorry it wasn't a bigger part. We offered it originally to Michael Portillo, and not surprisingly...
He turned it down.
Actually, surprisingly, because he's a real media slut now, isn't he? And then they offered it to Peter Mandelson, and he said no. So they offered it to me. Isn't that strange? You can't get Portillo and Mandelson, you get David.
What do we think Portillo and Mandelson and Benson have in common?
We're all red-blooded men.
I've no idea. I don't know. Do you have political persuasions?
Yes, I'm pretty out there. You know, I don't like any of the parties very much. I have my own views of how the world works, and I don't think any of the parties are going
to
help us.
A bit similar to Mandelson and Portillo. I seem to remember being ejected from both their respective parties.
It's all a game. They're all the same party, let's face it. Don't get me started. I'm very cynical about all this, you know, Tessa. Don't get me on a rant.
No, do you know why I'm cynical? Yeah. It's the modern celebrity thing. And I think now if you're pretty, you try and become a pop star or a blogger. And if you're ugly, you go through politics.
No, if you're ugly, you go on the radio.
Or on the radio, thanks. David. Yeah. Thanks.
No, but you're, how come you're,
no, but you're, gorgeous,
you're the exception that proves the rule. I mean, why aren't you a celebrity?
Listeners, if you could see Tessa now, you would be gobsmacked. The table would be rising.
You've got a bit of a Joanne Alumni look about.
Could we please? I want to go back to the politicians because I'm bitter and twisted about this. They then do a bad job of running the country for which they are handsomely paid.
Yes. Yeah.
They then leave early and cash in their chips and are paid obscene amounts of money to write extremely dull memoirs and go on speech tours. I ban from now on anybody buying a political memoir. Yeah.
Bravo.
Yes, I ban it.
Very good.
If you would like to ban something, then please call in. We're going to go to AD on the M25, Shere Khan, Stephen Gatwick. You guys are popular. We've got a queue of people wanting to talk to you, including Arthur in New York.
Arthur.
He's the one I was telling you about earlier. By the way,
I'm totally lost. These two are friends. I'm detached. I'm trying to control them. I'm the, in the boxing ring, I'm the man with her two hands out, pressing one into each respective chest.
No, we're snuggling.
Okay. 020-722-42000. Stephen is sweating next door.
You don't need to wear a bra if you do that.
We're now going to Tippy, who's going to read the news.
On 94.9 FM, BBC London.
With the headlines on race surgery, four members of a multi-million pound car-ringing gang who stole dozens of luxury cars and toured the capital with them have been jailed. 29-year-old Imran Ganji from Ilford and his three accomplices have been jailed for 15 years in total between them for car theft and money laundering. Fabio Capello has signed a 4.5-year deal to become the new England manager. He'll begin work in January with his first game in charge the following month. A year ago this evening, 1,500 999 calls were made to the London Ambulance service in just 6 hours. Tonight they're experiencing one of their busiest nights of the year as the office party season gets into full swing. The emergency services are expecting a 15% rise in calls this year. Cleaners and caterers have taken over the main hall of the Tate Modern Gallery as part of a pay protest. Contract workers at the South London Gallery say their wage does not cover the true cost of living in the capital. And negotiations to try and break the deadlock at the International Climate Change Conference in Bali are continuing into the night. The sticking point between the United States and European countries is whether there should be firm targets for cuts in greenhouse gas emissions. That's a summary. There'll be a full bulletin at one.
You're listening to London's radio station. BBC London, 9 to 5.
Let's get this right. Who was Uncle Holly?
He was someone that used to be with Father Christmas there. It surprised me no one's mentioned it yet.
Robert Elms, guests, music and a celebration of all things London.
My father worked at Selfridges. Uncle Holly was one of the lift operators and presumably the bouncer.
Danny Baker, the calls, the stories, the radio magic.
Tell us where you keep this huge fridge freezer that doesn't work.
In the front garden.
On radio, nothing else compares.
And the neighbours give you the raspberry, I suppose.
Robert Elms, midday to 3, Danny Baker, 3 to 5. Weekdays on London's radio station.
BBC London, 94.9.
Read number 4.
Oh, right, number 4.
Naturally, read it naturally.
Robert Elms, listed Londoner on Monday, will be the legendary pop artist Alan Jones answering the famous... famous 15 questions. Plus... he'll be finding out more about a magical Christmas at Kew Gardens, all from midday Monday.
Okay, clearly not a listener. Please be a bit more tactful and listen from midday in future on BBC London 94.9 FM. Hello, you're with Tessa Dunlop and a couple of reprobates. Too old, they should know better, but they have their own certain charm. David Benson's Christmas Party, we're going to tell you all about rave reviews from broadsheet newspapers. Unbelievable. And Clayton Littlewood, the Soho blogger. You've got your own column now, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully the London Papers one starts in a couple of weeks, weekly one, so that'll be nice.
Hope you read out your blogs a little more fluently than you read out my trail.
Well, I've practised my blogs.
Yeah, I bet you have, eh? So practise your own blogs. Don't bother with my trust. We're going to go to Arthur in New York now.
Arthur.
Hi, kids.
Arthur, we've never spoken. He's a MySpace friend of mine. We've been communicating for about a year.
Yeah.
Arthur, so nice to hear you.
Do you feel a bit left out, David?
Well, no, David.
Because Arthur sent me a message today, didn't you? On MySpace.
See, don't I work fast? But listen, let me get something out of the way. So we're talking about porn names, right?
Yes.
So it's my pet and it's my mother's maiden name.
Mm. Yes.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Pussy King.
Say it again.
Pussy
King.
King.
Pussy King.
Is that too much?
No.
No.
We love pussy.
That's such a porn name.
It's very unoriginal. When you have a pussy, you would call it. Well, you would call it Tiddles. You would not give it a name.
We actually called her Little Pussy.
Oh,
Little Pussy King, but you dropped the little, didn't you?
I thought you were going to say Pussy Galore or something. Like that.
But listen, I have to tell you all that I'm representing the United States.
I know.
But we love Clayton so much. His writing is so beautiful. We wait for his blogs to come out.
Oh, Arthur, I'm crying.
Now, tell us, where can we find your blog, Soho Blogger?
MySpace, DWB Soho, all one word.
So www.myspace.com/...
DWB Soho.
Dirty white boys say DWB. Yeah, okay.
We're addicted.
We've got an international audience, Clayton. And isn't it amazing that here we are doing a local London radio program and here's someone in New York listening.
It's amazing.
It's a global community, aren't we?
We're twins.
It's cocktail hour here.
Is it?
Yeah.
Where Arthur, are you drinking on air? Oh, for crying out loud, Pussy King. Get it together.
Well, Arthur might be coming over to London, actually. He's just had a book launch in New York, his follow-up book called Fruit Cocktail. So I think you're going to start doing some book launch events over here, aren't you?
I can't believe you're plugging me. Thank God.
Oh, well, you just plugged me. I had to plug you back, and I do like to plug a friend.
I can only apologise.
So you're paying for the call, Arthur.
I'm holding this together by the skin of my teeth. I'll have you know the BBC is paying for a call, and I can sense that licence payers are going to start asking for their money back any minute.
Well, listen,
I want to challenge you. How many lights do you have on in your room at the moment?
In my room, how many lights?
Yes.
I have two lights.
And any other electrical appliances?
Well, the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Where is this leading to?
I'll tell you in a minute. I'm being controversial and topical.
My radio, talk radio, and I have an answering machine.
And what do you drive?
I don't. I live in New York City.
All right. You've just got under the wire there because your obscene president is dithering in Bali or whatever it's called, Indonesia, and not signing up to the latest environmental treaty. And
it's not Arthur's fault.
No, but he's one of them.
Oh, he's not.
He's an American.
Are you a Blairite? Are you a Blairy?
A what?
Well, he's gone.
A
brownie.
Or a brownie, whatever they are. You know, one of that. They're not one of them. You don't represent.
She's a brown owl.
But I do think that Americans need to take a stand about
the environment. What are they supposed to do about it?
Do you know 10 Chinese men or women use the same amount of energy as one Arthur?
I know that Arthur does not like Bush.
That means he can make 10 woks of food. one
I'm
man can make 10 woks.
I'm trying to be very conscious about my footprint that I'm making.
Carbon.
Yes.
So my carbon footprint. So I'm being very, very conscious.
But do you have existential angst about this, Arthur?
Of course.
Oh, well done. Okay.
Wouldn't you if you were Pussy King?
I would, yes. Especially if I was Little Pussy King. Now, so it's got out of hand. Do you think this has been okay? I don't want to get into trouble.
Fabulous.
If you want to complain, please ring in 020-722-42000. Would you like to hear my Italian joke now?
Please.
Earlier, somebody, because we're talking about Italians, do you know why, boys?
No.
No.
Why?
Goodness.
Football match?
Yes, no, oh. Not match.
Netball?
No. I can't believe these guys. The new football manager for England.
Course. £10 million.
Wouldn't have a clue, dear.
£6 million.
He's not very pretty, is he?
He's ugly. He's older than you.
He's Frankenstein. Yeah, he's at least 23.
He's over 60 and he's called Fabio.
Oh, that's a good name. Yeah. Fabio.
He's £6 million or something. Can you imagine that as a pension?
£6 million. I think it's obscene what they pay these
people. I think
managers.
It's disgusting.
I just, they get jealous. I mean, why pay them what they can get, you know?
No, it's
just
obscene.
Give it to me.
No, because it's money going out of the country.
It's not.
It is. He'll have an Italian bank account.
He'll be sacked in a year, get a big golden handshake.
Yeah, it'd be rubbish. That England won't qualify or something and everyone will blame him because
by
it's easy.
British.
Oh, I couldn't care less. Honestly, what does it matter to
Well, anyway, because it leads to my Italian
yes,
joke.
Yes, that's important okay. thing.
Because I said the best thing to come out of Italy and somebody's texted in rather insensitively fascism and I then tried to, well, I don't think it was the best thing. I think it was things generally that came out of Italy.
Spaghetti.
Thank you.
And I pointed out
that...
All right,
that,
bye-bye. Oh, he's gone. In the middle of the call.
He didn't like this joke.
He didn't
He's
want
Italian.
My joke. Possibly a lot of Americans are American-Italian.
Yes, they
Italian-Americans.
Are.
No, he was
from.
Hung up. I think he was abruptly disconnected.
Stephen was bored by him.
Ruthlessly, no.
Steve is saying no.
We still love you, Arthur.
Oh, my God, he got bored with us. Sorry, Arthur. I love you.
He didn't get bored. Oh. Stephen will have just gently terminated him, but okay. Little Pussy King is fine. He's gone to switch his lights off, okay? Can I get
I thought you were very cruel.
Italian jokes.
Very cruel. Yeah, come on, get it.
He can take it, he's American. Okay, so this man said fascism didn't actually come out of Italy because Mussolini kept in Italy and he couldn't invade any other countries. That led me on. He was a hopeless. And that led me on to my little joke, which you may know.
What? I know it. Yeah, sorry. No, I don't. I'm sorry.
What is the difference between toast and Italians? And I said, I'll tell you the punchline later. And then, hi, Minxie. Please, can you tell us the punchline to the Italian joke? That's from Joe Embarking. So somebody's listening. I'm all pleased. The punchline is, what's the difference between toast and Italians? Yeah. You can make soldiers out of toast. It's topical if you knew what went on in the war, but you probably
what
don't.
What war?
The war with Mussolini.
I don't get it.
No.
Because Italians were hopeless soldiers and they always let Hitler
were
down.
They?
Oh.
Yes, you do know that.
What's that got to do with toast?
Because toast, when you have your hard-boiled egg, soft-boiled, you cut your toast into soldiers and you... A joke's
I don't think
a rubbish
good
if you explain
having a punchline
them.
That's 60 years old.
It kind of fell a bit flat, don't you think?
I want to go to another call.
That joke would have been funny in 1946.
Yeah. It was actually from my grandmother.
Oh, there you are then, I told you. There you are. It's been handed down to the generations. Jokes don't usually survive.
I'm going to cry on air. Can you do a newspaper and then we're going to go to AD?
Why are we going to do
newspaper? Well, and then your blog, you ego.
Oh, yes,
newspaper
we've got two stories.
Right.
Okay.
No, Dave, I love you, really. But you didn't laugh at my joke.
I thought it was... No,
oh,
I never
I
laughed at jokes.
Hold on. Delayed laugh.
You didn't... All right. Bitch.
Have you got a story, Clayton?
I've just cracked a rib, sorry.
Well, I've got a story about, for the Financial Times, Ilford tops business league. Right. Essex Town has the best enterprise. Now, they've tried to get showbiz into this story. It says, Ilford in East London suburbs has the UK's fastest growing business population, according to the Royal Mail's latest annual business. The number of active businesses in the town, birthplace of the boxer Nigel Benn and the actor Dame Maggie Smith...
Who have precisely what to do with business?
...increased by 3.7% over the 6 months to August, well up, and they've got a great big picture of Maggie Smith to introduce. It's got nothing to do with Maggie. Look at her, sort of going.
Do you know what? You have pulled out the most irrelevant, boring newspaper stories so we can get to your blogs. I know your tactics, subversive. I'm going
it's
to
about
call.
Maggie Smith.
I'm going to
AD.
He's moving. He's a man on the move.
You're not in the motorway. Oh,
listen,
another one on the motorway.
They're all running away from us.
Look out for Shabba. Shabib.
Shabab.
Shabba.
Speak.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, he's playing with us. There was a delay. Hello. Is it AD?
It's Addy.
Addy, how are
Eddie.
You?
Eddie.
Very well.
It's Addy.
Are you driving?
No, I was.
Are you drunk?
No.
What are you wearing?
None of your business.
Now, I happen to know, being in control, that you have a specific request, don't you, Addy?
Yes, I want to know, Clayton. Not sure. Clayton, upper Thames Street or lower Thames Street, does that ring a bell?
Did we do something there?
No, just you on your own.
Upper Thames Street. Yes, I do know Upper Thames Street. I used to go to a gym there called Cannons.
Planet's all coming out now.
Did you work there at all?
Yes, I did. Did we know each other from back then?
Yes.
Addy! This was about 20 years ago.
Oh, is that This Is Your Life?
Oh, my God. Where's Eamon Andrews?
Eamon Andrews to come out any minute.
Where's the big red book?
Addy, I remember you. Oh, how weird is this?
Did you ever shower together?
No, we never. Well, I don't know what to say.
Where do we go from here?
Because I'm trying to remember what you look like.
Are you good? Let me, I'll get to
I do know you, Addy.
Are you good looking?
No, do you know what, Tess? I'll tell you something.
Oh, God.
He has not changed. He's still the same. He's got that same, you know...
Naughty.
I look exactly the same as well.
He doesn't.
Not a wrinkle on my face.
He's got a naughty, vicious, dirty little sense of humour that's impossible to control on the air and may lose me my job.
That's Clayton.
Yeah. Thanks, Addy. And what about you? Are you a virile, kind of attractive? Are we? Can we paint the picture?
Oh, my gosh.
Did we snoggle? No, we didn't.
Stop it! I'm getting rid of you. Bye, Addy.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Oh, dear.
That was...
Stephen, where did you... these two together.
You know the name. As soon as it says Addy, I thought, I knew an Addy.
But there was absolutely... What passed between you? I mean, what...
We used to work together 20 years ago.
Do you think he fancied you?
No, I don't think so.
Because
I don't
fancy
think I...
him?
No, I don't think I did, because otherwise I'd be able to picture him now.
I can't bear the thought of you fancying him. Oh,
you've got a Rolodex in your
I would like to say something.
Sorry,
you know Joe Embarking, who wanted my Italian joke? Mm. He's texted back and he says, well, I like the joke.
Oh, right.
Ignore them, Minxy. They are fools. Yeah. Love Joe Embarking.
Really? Someone got it. Maybe he only just got it 20 minutes later.
Hi, hi, Minxy. My porn name is Binky Stevens. My wife's was Cherry Foster. Love Clive in Weybridge in my car. That's Clive. I'm not sure about the in my car bit.
Once we get the travel news later, we'll hear there's been all these accidents.
Yeah.
People texting and talking on the phone.
Yeah, on the M25. Oh, we're going to Shere Khan in a minute. He's one of our most notorious callers. Oh. I can't tell. He's a terrible flirt. I don't know whether he'll go for you two, though, to be honest.
Okay.
Now, we must all remember that David and Clayton have deep and, I think, an immediate sense of affection for me. But
yes,
they've not actually come here from the goodness of their own cockles and hearts. It's because they both have their respective little agendas to promote.
Yeah.
OK, I know.
We'll probably never see each other again.
No, there's lots of fake air kissing and I've flattered them. But let's first of all focus on Clayton because he is a budding writer. He used to run a clothes shop. He still does.
Dirty White Boy, Old Compton Street.
Dirty White Boy, yeah, Old Compton Street. I was on Old Compton Street. I should have popped in, actually.
You should have done. You'd have got a free vest.
Oh. <Don't>.
String one.
I know, but I was going to say something inappropriate.
So cold as well. You wouldn't need a bra at the moment.
Thank you. I always need a bra. I have plenty to lift. Now, let's go back to your blog. You've written a couple.
Couple.
They're recent. Are they quite recent publications?
I've written hundreds, but I've got a couple.
Are they these recent?
I can set the tone for this one. There's a guy that comes in the shop. He's about 70.
Mm-hmm.
He's been coming in the shop for a while. I've got two little stories here. And when I knew David was going to be on the air, I thought this is the perfect person to read out the voices for this character. He's about 70. He's
perfect.
Yes. Typecast. Thank you.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
I'm not that old, you know.
I meant he's very camp. Well, you know, we've talked about this. Come on.
Yes,
we've discussed.
I can give voice to these.
It's fine to be a camp 70-year-old, David. It's a lot of people have that as an aspiration.
Not that long, you know. I'm heading there fast.
The weird thing is he's been coming in the shop for about a year.
Mm.
And it turns out we have another customer coming in the shop who's very interested in thongs. And he's about 80.
Right.
And it turns out that the shop used to be a restaurant years ago and they actually knew each other, but they didn't know that I knew about those two. So I've linked them back up with each other 40 years later.
They're both, one's an 80-year-old man who sold thongs and the other one's a 70-year-old man who's camp.
No, one's an 80-year-old who likes thongs. He comes into the shop just to look at our thongs.
But it's a beautiful story and people have been following this for weeks and weeks and weeks, all over the world, like Arthur in New York.
Arthur's big in it, I know.
It's been amazing.
He's currently extending his footprint reading about it, isn't he, on the computer?
Yeah.
Mm.
But it's really beautifully written and people have been on edge week after week to find out what's going to happen next, and Clayton's been unfolding the story.
And Yes, he's a regular character. He comes in the shop quite a lot, and I thought, well, David's the perfect person to read this out.
Well, it's a great honour, I can tell you. I hope I get it right.
I hope you do too,
yeah.
Especially if you're nearing 70. A little fringe of Alzheimer's there, problems with the teeth. Have you take on some water, rub him slightly. Okay. There we are. Now, you've got the context. This is two men who found each other.
Actually, it's not about that bit.
It's about that character.
It's about the character. So I just set the scene for this first character. So this is the first time he ever came in the shop. This was in July, just before the smoking ban. So this old gentleman comes in the shop, and it's... So I wrote about it afterwards.
OK, well, I'll count you in.
Let's see what happens. We've never done this before. Okay. Let's see what happens.
One, two, three.
2 p.m. I'm sat behind the counter, looking out the doorway, waiting for the day to begin. An old man totters past. He stops, looks inside, smiles, then, holding onto the doorframe, takes a step up, gradually making his way slowly toward me, adjusting his tie and patting down his wispy grey locks as he gets closer.
They're getting rid of the fags,
he suddenly announces in a clipped, disapproving voice, as he rests one slightly trembling pale hand on the counter, taking a yellow silk hanky from his top pocket with the other. I'm sorry.
I don't mean us, dear,
he says, lightly dabbing his forehead.
No, they're not getting rid of us. I mean the smokes. You know, no smoking in public. Starts next week. Could you believe it?
Oh, yes, of course. I'd almost...
I never thought I'd see the day, Ducky, I can tell you.
And I watch as he licks his forefinger, running up and down an eyebrow that is as clipped as his voice.
Where are we going to smoke now? In the loos?
I'm not sure.
No, you can't smoke in there, dear. Not round here, you can't. Oh, no. Too many men in there doing the business.
You're probably right, I reply, trying not to laugh.
Yeah, it'd be thick with smoke. Thick with it. We'd have to feel our way around the bog. The queens would love it, of course, but what about those of us who just wanted the urination? What would we do? Oh, no, not in the loos. We can't have smoking in the loos.
Plus, it would leave a bit of a smell, I remind him.
Well, this is going to be a bit smell in there anyway, isn't it, dear? I mean, a bog. What do you expect?
He fires back, throwing back his head and holding on to his tie for mock effect.
Oh, I couldn't bear it in mine,
he says, pulling a face.
My loos sparkling. Always has been. Well, you never know when you'll have the visitors, do you? Imagine them leaving and saying, did you see the brown? Oh, I couldn't bear that. No, I couldn't think of anything worse. I use the bleach. You know, the spray one. Oh, yes, every night. Leave it to settle. By the morning, it's all gone. Gets rid of it all. You could eat off it in the morning.
That's very nice.
Talking of which, it's my time for a smoke. Not much for longer, though, eh? I never thought I'd live to see the day. Oh, well, bye for now, Ducky. Bye.
And with that, he tottered right back out.
It happened then. I felt him come to me then.
So that's a true story.
Leslie is born, I think.
This guy came in the shop, said all that, and as soon as he left, I quickly wrote it down, and he's become a main character in my story.
We got another one.
Okay, another.
Do you want another
encore,
one?
Encore. Yes, Shere Khan can wait.
Okay,
encore.
This is good. This one.
It's
a bit politically incorrect, this one.
Yeah,
oh.
No, nothing that we're not allowed to say.
As bad as my Italian joke?
Not quite as bad as that.
Oh, okay then. Okay.
Now, this happened. I was in, I don't know if you've ever been in Soho, to the Poland Street post office.
I was in there today.
Was you?
Yes.
Were you?
I sent
a present to somebody who lives very near Western Supermare. Yes, the place where Porter's Head were born, on the cliff.
Porter's Head?
They're born on the cliff?
Yes, Porter's Head, that's it, Porter's
where
Head.
Where they've been going down ever since.
How unusual.
I sent it there, yes, of course. And I was there. And
oh,
there was
wow.
No queue. It's great to go there because not many people think to go to the post office
well,
there.
Well, funny enough, the day I was there, there was a massive... queue. Now, this character was in there again, so I wrote about it. Here we go.
Okay. The same old man with the
picked
eyebrows.
Same old man, who we now know his name is Leslie.
Leslie, that's a good ambiguous name.
It is, isn't it?
Yes.
C-A-C-D-C. Now do you see why David was such a good person to read this?
I am.
Very ambiguous.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go on to the next one. I like this one.
Two Indian women sat behind the counter chatting away, seemingly oblivious to not only the queue that stretches all the way out the door, but also to the pandemonium in their midst. Kids crying, hoodies arguing, pit bulls barking, women tut-tutting, a full-scale chav riot about to ensue at any moment. Then, just above the din, a voice cries out,
"Oh, do hurry it up, dears. I think you'll find Ramadan finished 3 weeks ago."
The Indian women immediately stop talking and look over. Then one walks slowly toward the counter, behind which stands an old man, eyebrow arched, a pinched expression, one hand on hip and the other leaning on a long yellow umbrella.
I'm sorry to drag you away from such important tittle-tattle,
Leslie says sarcastically as the woman approaches.
But I want to die of old age in my bed, not stood here waiting for a stamp.
Gradually, the crowd stop talking, nudge each other, grin. Even the pit bulls pull up chairs to watch the spectacle. What do you want? The woman says disinterestedly as she takes a seat.
I want to send this package first class to Manchester.
Leslie says, pulling a brown padded envelope from his jacket pocket, which he plonks on the scales.
Although, judging by your efficiency, I'm sure our definitions of what constitutes first class differ wildly.
The woman narrows her eyes, sighs, then looks at the scale monitor. £7.50.
£7.50!
Shrieks Leslie, turning around dramatically to address the queue of people behind him, who by now are giggling away at his performance.
£7.50. I want it delivered in a van, not a bleeding limousine.
She stares at him impassively.
It's daylight robbery, that's what it is.
He screeches, whipping the package back off the scales.
If everyone knew second class, there'd be no need for first.
Then he grabs a £10 note out of his leather wallet and he shoves it quickly under the window as if it's riddled with a deadly disease.
Yeah, and I want a receipt too, if it's not too much to ask.
Without flinching, the woman prints one off and pushes the receipt and the stamps back under the window, staring back at him.
And?
Says Leslie expectantly, eyebrow arched as high as a railway tunnel. And, the woman repeats blankly.
Listen, dear,
he says, tapping the dividing window with his umbrella.
I don't know how it works in your culture, but in ours, once you've finished serving a customer, it is customary to say thank you or have a good day. It signifies the end of the transaction. Then both parties can continue on their merry little way.
Thank you. Have a good day, the woman fires back aggressively. Uh-oh. Les's eyes widen, his nostrils flare, and everyone in the post office takes a deep breath as he leans towards the window, fire coming out of his ears.
You want to learn some good old-fashioned British manners? That's what you want to do, Miss Gandy.
He hisses back. Oh. And then with a sudden swish, almost a pirouette, he spins around again, brushing past the crowds, unaware that everyone in the post office is looking at him wide-eyed, jaws hitting the floor. Then just as he's about to swan out of the door, he catches my eye.
Hello, Ducky,
he says, smiling as if nothing untoward had taken place.
Gorgeous day, isn't it?
Oh, do you lovely think they stuff, posted right? his parcel? I expect they put it in the bin.
Yes, probably. But isn't that lovely, beautiful
so
stuff?
So I rushed back to the shop and quickly wrote it all.
Do you shut the windows? If you just put the shut sign up when you have to get it all out there?
Yes, I have to quickly memorise it and think, God, I have to relive that moment and pretend I'm Leslie and...
Oh, that must be painful.
It is, isn't it?
That's what it's been like. Well, I do have to go into character.
Yes,
you know, you
does.
Become the character and you start to think like that.
That's a bit scary, though, if you're Leslie.
Yes. Or but you can turn it off. That's the only thing.
And can you, David? Have you been turning it on or off tonight? I'm not sure.
I should be fast asleep in half an hour, as if this had never happened. I'm going to be up really in the morning early to go on loose ends tomorrow morning.
Oh,
I'm going to be on loose ends. National radio.
I'm going to go to one of my regular loyal callers. You may have King Pussies in America logging on to you. I have Stephen Gatwick, OK?
Who's well, is he a getting baker. The flight out or something?
Then we may talk about your Christmas party, Dave.
Thank you.
OK? But of course, we could always listen to Loose Ends tomorrow to find out more.
6:15 tomorrow, yes.
Steve, hello.
Good morning, Tessa. Good morning, everybody.
Don't be nice to them. Have they been nice to us?
I'm always nice to you, Tessa.
Not me, them.
Oh, well, you know, they're just paid help, aren't they?
They're not paid.
A biscuit and a coffee.
Can we pay them? God. We're going to have to pay for damages. We're going to pay them.
We have got a cab home, though, haven't we, organised?
Yeah, we've got to cover them. That's nice.
No, Steve, actually, I don't have time for you right now. Can I talk to you after 1 o'clock?
Yes, no problem.
Is that all right? Because I feel we'll have a more a purer, less befuddled chat together alone.
Oh, she's
we
getting rid of us.
Will.
I just want to keep him with me. Yes.
Getting rid of us, Clayton. She's
unadulterated Steve.
We're being pushed off.
No, actually, do you know what I'm doing?
Could be worse.
I'm generously making space so there's time to talk about your little moment glory.
Well, just very, very briefly, this is my Christmas show, which I did originally last year at Salisbury Playhouse, and we're now doing a few gigs on the road, including one next Tuesday at the lovely Bloomsbury Theatre. I think you have the phone number there, don't you?
Yes, I'm going to give it out. But before we go any further, because we know that he's all into brands, you know, he wasn't anything until he won a prize. Well, I tell you what, now he doesn't only win prizes, he also gets reviews. Oh, yes,
I live in fear.
The Times. That would be the London Times. I found Benson liberating and dangerously funny.
Liberating. Yeah, yes. I don't know what show that was.
That's
for.
You. That's just, tea, isn't it?
That was not on stage. That was just when I met him. You know. Sorry, what?
I'm pretending it's for this one, isn't it?
Oh, what is it? Well, it's just general a review comment on my talent.
Yes, on your talent, right?
Yes, it applies to all my shows, really.
Okay.
So thank it judgment.
In particular, the one on Tuesday night. This is from The Independent.
Oh yes.
Masterful comic insight. Oh. Miss him at your peril.
That is you.
But put him on the radio at your peril,
yes,
okay? That was from
peril.
The Independent.
I've had worse than The Independent.
I would like to tell everyone that the Bloomsbury Theatre is entertaining this maverick, okay, before he has to lean
maverick,
on a stick.
Maverick, I like that.
Do you like that?
Yes.
020. So I'm going to give the number out later, but I'll give it once now to flatter his
thank you.
Sizeable ego.
No, my bank balance, dude. I'm desperate.
Oh, are you okay if you're desperate? 020-7388-882. Two.
There's
four eights
in the
middle.
No rhythm in
I'm going again. I was going to repeat it.
Make it like a song.
Sing it. Go on. Come on, Tessa.
I tell you what, I'll get tippy the news.
You're on X Factor.
Come on, it's nearly 1 o'clock. Read it again.
One ticket's £15.
Oh, come on, is it?
Oh, it's worth every penny.
It will be. So, and Clayton's going to be dressing me.
And I'm dressing him backstage.
Clayton will be in the wings, putting me out of my costume.
Oh, I had to do it last night as a trial run. I was more nervous than you, wasn't I?
But do you know what the good news is? Racist, insensitive Leslie gets a concession at £10. So he's going to be in the front row with his yellow umbrella and his clipped eyebrows.
Fabulous. I hope he is.
Okay, that's Tuesday, Bloomsbury Theatre. I'm now going to give the number out once more because I'm being henpecked.
Yeah, okay.
By this pair.
Sorry.
I wouldn't normally do this for a guest.
Wait, 02, what is it?
Oh, we know the London code. I'm just going to give you the 8 crucial digits. 83888822. 7388822.
There's venom in the way.
Oh, that
there.
Yeah. Was quite sensual.
It was waspish.
It was
a bit dominatrix.
Nobody else could read a phone number out waspishly.
Oh, well, I did my best for you because you put sting in my tail, David. Quite frankly, I'm wishing I'd been born in Western Supermare worrying about my sexuality. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it seems a shame to lose you. I'm going to be so lonely this last hour.
I loved it, Tessa.
I've enjoyed
ask
it.
Ask us back again.
I will.
Will you?
Yes.
I do love coming on here.
Oh, well, I've got...
No, she's a gorgeous hostess.
She is. You're the best. Better than any of the other ones I've been on this station.
Have you been on before?
Many, many times I've done... Well, I shouldn't name names now, should I?
You adulterer!
I've done Vanessa, you know, I've done her, and...
He's done Vanessa.
You know, it started vulgar. It's
Henry
got
Kelly.
Worse and worse.
Henry Kelly.
He's on the other station. 020-722-42000. Join me and Stephen Gatwick. It becomes more cerebral, highbrow, and altogether more educated after the hour.
Bye, listeners.
I hope you've enjoyed that. Yes.
Thank you so much for inviting us on.
Soho blogger, Bloomsbury Theatre on Tuesday night.
David
Benson, the department store Littlewoods.
And the gorgeous Tessa.
Oh. BBC. I'm not going. I'm staying. 9
FM. The Sony award-winning station for breaking news.
This is BBC London.
With the 1 o'clock news, I'm Ray Sardry, four members of a multi-million pound car ringing...